This spring at Two Rivers, we've been doing a series that we've called Open, and we've been looking at the story of God in our lives, looking at the ways that God has come and been real in each one of our lives, trying to track that for ourselves, and then also being able to find ways that we can really naturally, in the midst of relationship, just share that with others. And so we're going to wrap that up this morning. Travis Bowen is a leader here at Two Rivers, and he's going to finish things up. Travis works here in the area as a Young Life area director, and so he works with teenagers, and this is really what he does day by day, is helping young people come into an authentic encounter of who Jesus is, and trying to do that in the midst of non-religious settings and all that. So he's got some wonderful things to share with us this morning of how we can see some open doors come in our lives, see how God's worked in us, and again, just be able to authentically share that with others over time. Is that good enough?
I love it.
Should I have some like credentials and all that? No, I'm kidding.
I've got none.
Okay.
Zero.
Travis, take it over.
I want to say a little bit about growing up. I started going to church faithfully when I went to high school, my freshman year, and I may have shared some of this, but for some of you guys that don't know, there was no youth group, nothing in my hometown. I went to a very traditional Baptist church, which there wasn't a church that wasn't traditional in my hometown, but it was hymns, and then preacher gets up. I actually really liked the preacher. He was really good at sharing stories, and that's kind of been my style as well. But there were some college students that came towards the end of my high school career that had some great energy towards Jesus. And so when I went to college, I was like, I want to get involved in a college ministry. And they had actually come from something called the Baptist Student Union. So I go to Southwest Missouri State University, go Bears. And
nobody knows.
Yeah, I know. It's Missouri. It's Missouri State now, and they actually were really good at women's basketball. So just saying, Jackie Stiles, she's in the WNBA. So I went to the Baptist Student Union, and Baptists, God bless them. I mean, really, I do have a place in my heart for Baptists. They love the Word of God. As I went to it was my first pure Bible studies. It was my first contemporary worship. It was my first in a lot of ways, but I loved it, and I grew, and I came on leadership with them, and then I was on this leadership team that was evangelism team, and they said, hey, this is how we're going to go out and share with Jesus. We'll go out on campus, and they took these little things, if you've ever heard of these things called tracts, and they're like little booklets, and you flip through them, and it tells you these four things about how to get to Jesus, and then like you start up these most awkward conversations. Half the time you don't even, oh, can I ask you, like, so if you were to die today, did you go to heaven or hell? And talk about awkward. You know, people's like, who are you? And I just never felt great about that type of presenting the gospel, mostly because it started not with caring, not with loving on people, not with people's names. But like, the only thing that I care about you is that you come into my worldview, that you get all of this information, which isn't even bad information about who Jesus is. And then all of a sudden, like, you just come over to the light with no care about who you are. But it was as we open the Gospels, as we flip the pages of this book, we see Jesus showing up in people's life, at wells, in boats, and he locks eyeballs with people when they're following him, and he asks some of the most profound questions, like, what do you want? Or who do you say that I am? Or how can I help you? And people are inspired. Isn't there anyone that condemns you? He asks these questions, and people think. And I don't think it drew people to this moment of, well, I think I would go to hell right now, so how can I come to heaven? Like, Jesus, like, reached in to right where they were. And he says, I know where you are in life. And let me tell you about good news. Most of the time, half the time it's because we're afraid. There's a lot of things that you should never be as we talk about Jesus, but we don't have to be afraid if people don't come to knowledge of Jesus, because it's not about us. I'm afraid that you don't have the right information. I'm afraid that if you don't this second meet Jesus in relationship, that there's no hope for you. That is making it all about this moment and about me. I remember when I was in college, I sat down with an interview with this lady. And she was a college student at this time. She's a graduate student. But she was also a priestess in a Wiccan school, Diana's Grove, in Salem, Missouri. It seems very stereotypical, but it's true. And I didn't share with anything about my faith. I just asked her questions about hers. And what she had to share, I just had to keep on asking her, like, well, how did you get here? Because she said, I grew up in an Assemblies of God church. She's like, and I can do all the Christian things. I can talk Christian talk. I can be a good person. I can talk in tongues and stuff like this. But the Christian faith to her was all about the things that she did. Not about a hope and a vision. Not about relationship. And I was greatly saddened by what she thought she knew about who Jesus was. As I've gotten into more and more conversations with people about where they are, I always start with where a person is. Where are you? What's going on in your life? Something that's going to come up a lot today is, what's God stirring in your life? Like, if you were to think about where you are right now, 2013, May of 2013, in case you didn't know. This is the 19th, right? I can't even tell you that. It's the 19th. I know it's the 19th. May 19th, 2013. What is God stirring in your heart? What's he doing in your life? Because if God is not doing something here, then to just go out and throw information on people is not going to work. We're going to be so concerned with everybody else getting the right information, and God's not working in here. Because so much of sharing the gospel is just being led by the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is leading you in the conversations with people, then he's also directing them. Was it 9 years ago, I started Young Life Staff. After I graduated college, I taught Spanish in high school, came on Young Life staff, started this brand new area. Nobody had ever heard of Young Life in the school, in the town, nothing, except for the group of adults that raised some money, so I showed up. And so if you are Jesus, and not that you are, and I wasn't either. Awesome! If you are Jesus, and you, similar to the woman at the well, are going to show up in somebody's life, and you're supposed to show up in high school kids' life, where are you going to show up? At the school. We were very blessed in my last town that we could actually go into lunchroom. We had some parameters, like I made promises, like we're not going to wear Jesus wear, we're not going to take Bibles, I'm not going to pray with kids, I promise. We're just going to go in and meet them. Which, by the way, can be awkward because you show up, and I remember the first day of school that I go into the lunchroom. Now, I had already met some soccer guys, but I go into the lunchroom. I didn't see a soccer guy that I knew, so I go and sit at this table that I never met anybody at. Wade Atkins, Chris Castro is there, and I sit down, talk with them. Hey, how are things going? For 6 months, my whole job was just to create relationships with kids and to find volunteers and recruit them to be part of what was going on with Young Life, Lake of the Ozarks. And I did that for 6 months, and through that time, waiting, Chris asked me, like, what are you doing here? Who are you? This is weird. kind of went those ways. What is Young Life? And I always said it's the best thing since sliced bread. And then we started in the spring, and we started this thing called Young Life Club, and we call it the platform to share the gospel. We do crazy songs that they've heard on the radio. We try to be funny, which sometimes works. And then for 12 minutes, we tell them a story about who Jesus is. We open the word, and we fan the pages of the Gospels, and we look at the stories of Jesus. 50, 100, 150 kids, eyes glued on the stage. You could hear a pin drop. And Chris Castro doesn't go to club once that spring. He's like, I don't have a ride. I gave him my number, which now looking back on it, that was even more weird. But I said, just give me a call. I'll give you a ride. I'm a single 24-year-old guy. That's really awkward. He never called. But randomly, like 3 weeks after school got out, thanks for the courtesy laugh. 3 weeks after school got out, waiting, and Castro gives me a call and says, hey, what are you doing? You want to hang out? And I'm like, who are you? And he's like, hey, this is Chris. Here's the catch, though. I lived in a resort town. It was around a lake, so like there were all these weird coves that you had to drive in. So it took 30 minutes to get to their house. You have to come get us because we don't have a car. So I went and got them. And we hung out all summer. And one day, I remember, I think Chris called me after he was working. And he said, hey, can you take me home? I don't have a ride home. So I went and picked him up, took him home. On the ride home, Chris starts telling me all of his hesitations about Jesus and religion. I was like, wait a second, who is this kid? I have never said Jesus to him. He's never been to Young Life Club. He still has no clue what Young Life is or what I do. Why is he talking about Jesus? So I just ask him questions. Like, okay, well, tell me about this. I still didn't say anything to him. I was just asking questions. That summer, he moved to Arizona to live with his dad. But some freak thing, he moved back a week before we went to camp. He goes to Young Life Camp and begins a relationship with Jesus. And he is now in Phoenix with Teach for America, teaching kids, middle school kids, and he still loves Jesus, attending church and helping lead small groups. That's when it is God doing the work. I didn't say a thing to Chris. Here's when it was me. When I was a college student a couple years before that, this kid named Aaron, he had gone to Young Life for like all year. His big sister was a Young Life person. He loved Young Life. He was planning on going to camp that summer. I was like, okay, here's the deal. So I took him home from Young Life Club one day. And on the way home, I was like, so Aaron, what do you think about all this Jesus stuff? We've talked about Jesus for a whole semester. You've heard these stories of him. What do you think? He's like, I don't know. And I was like, okay, I'll ask some more questions. And I was like, so who do you, to you, who is Jesus? And these are the questions that the Baptist had trained me on really well. I was like, so to you, who is Jesus? He's like, I don't get your question. I was like, okay, so like who, if you were to describe Jesus to this other person, what do you say? He's like, I don't know. And so Aaron was not the time. I was like, I need to tell this kid about Jesus. He's been hearing about Jesus, and I'm supposed to get you to pray with, receive Jesus! Anyway, Aaron did not receive Jesus that night. But he did eventually meet Jesus, but it wasn't on my timing. And it wasn't even with me, believe it or not. Crazy! Because I feel like most kids should come to Jesus when they just get presents. Joke. Okay. I'm going to be struck down by lightning. You'll never have me up here again.
Well, I should say that you're going to travel for the summer starting next week, and so you won't be around for a couple months.
That's right.
And so just to clarify that...
I'm not being excommunicated after this. There's no formal excommunication after this.
He's just traveling.
That's right. Oh. But what is it we're supposed to do when we share the gospel? And there are three things that I hope that you can walk out of here knowing when you're done today. and that you'll have the ability to share. And the first thing is, the day had come, and in Luke 4, Jesus was in the synagogue, and they take these big, huge scrolls down. Huge. You don't have, it's not like, it's the Word of God, but it's like in huge scrolls, and they take it down, and they put it on the table and roll it out, and it's Jesus' turn to read the scrolls. So he gets down there, and this is what it says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released and that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. It says all eyes were on him. He rolls up the scroll. And he says, the scripture you have just heard is fulfilled today. Jesus was reading a scroll from Isaiah 61. And when it says to preach the good news, the Hebrew word for that was a term from the root word basar. It means to enflesh the good news. To become, essentially, you, when he says, preach the good news to people. It makes so much sense when St. Augustine said, preach the good news, and when necessary, use words. And it is important to use words, and we'll get to that. But enflesh the gospel. When Jesus looks at people, he doesn't look out with condemnation, but with love and peace. Who are those people in your life that when you look into them, you're like, oh, they are gentle. So before you utter a word about the gospel, are you the gentle, loving, caring eyes of Jesus? Do I have enough love and space in them that even if they reject who Jesus is, I can love on them? It doesn't change anything if they have a different religion, even a dark religion, whatever. Do I have enough space that doesn't affect me? I'm going to still be the gentle, loving, caring eyes of Jesus. I'm going to enflesh. What's the good news to the people that are blind or captive or oppressed or orphans or widows? Maybe it's providing. Maybe it's going down to a homeless shelter and being the loving, caring eyes of Jesus there. And instead of things being on my schedule, like Aaron, more like maybe God will create some conversations like Chris Castro. How does he know that I know about Jesus? All other religions are about, let me bring you my goodness and my efforts first. But guys, Christianity is the only one that is Jesus brings to us his goodness and his efforts. And because of his efforts on the cross, he gives you a justified life. He just gives you right standing with God. And out of that right standing, we get a love. People say if you obey God, most religions in the world are, if you obey God, then you're in right standing in faith. Jesus says, I give you right standing in faith. And now, love and obey. But there are some things that we do need to know. And I don't know where I put that thing. I talk with my hands so much that I have to put everything down. And then when I need to use this, I just read that one. So that's in Luke 4, 18 and 19. and Isaiah 61, if you need to know. There are things that we should know. And I think more than anything, I am a person that actually came to Christ because a pastor sat down with me in a tract. I don't think that anything is necessarily wrong in sharing the gospel. But here's the other piece of that, is I think a lot of those tracts and a lot of those scriptures that people talk about who Jesus is and that we're sinners and wages of sin is death, like that is information that we as the body of Christ should know ourselves, so we know what the position is of the world and what Christ has done for them. Sometimes people just want to talk out the gospel. Oh, wait, we're not there yet. You can't accept Christ because I'm not down to... That's point four. I had a Young Life kid. This isn't even on here. But anyway, I had a Young Life kid named Alex Murphy who goes to Young Life Club twice. It was even though we were just talking about the person of Christ. We hadn't talked about sin. We hadn't talked about cross. He said that he's like, after two Young Life Clubs, I went home and prayed to receive Jesus. And I was like, who does that? And he didn't tell us until 6 months later. I was like, who does that? The plan. We should know the plan. And here's the thing. You don't even have to write these down, because if you want to know a plan, if you want to have something in your mind, whether it's drawing things out or whatever, and these scriptures right here, as a matter of fact, on the back table, I've printed off some of them, and if you want to get them later, Brian will also connect them on the website. Here's a plan right here. You can draw a picture, and it goes right through this, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And it has pictures. It teaches you how to do that. I don't think there's anything wrong with this. I don't use this a whole lot. But like, if you're at that point, you're like, I have this friend that wants to meet Jesus. Like, what am I supposed to do? I don't even know what to say. Anxiety. This lines it out for you very well. Calm down. It's okay. And then just pray. Pray, 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 pray. And on the back, there's also some extra scriptures that can just kind of help you. Because my encouragement to you, as a person that knows Jesus, or as a person that's seeking Jesus, it's seeking truth, and I want to know more about this life with Christ, look at some of these scriptures on the back and just what in the world they mean to us in our faith with Christ. And I've even gone a step further. You're welcome. There are some illustrations on the back here. What does sin really mean? Or, hey, so suppose I was supposed to give you this dollar. At what point is it yours? Gift of God, and is much like that. When I receive it. John 1, I did not put up there. 12 and 13, love this because I did not want it in the, I wanted it in a different version. John 1, 11 through 12. This is the promise. This is the beauty. This, please share with everyone. But whoever did want him, talking about Jesus, whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claims and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. They are the God-begotten, not the blood-begotten, not because they were born of it, not flesh-begotten, not just because they're Israel, the nation, not sex-begotten. They're the child of God-begotten, from God into relationship. He gave them the right to be called children of God. A few weeks ago, I was in a class, and in this class, the professor was talking about Genesis 3 and gave me quite an interesting take on Genesis 3. Genesis 1, creation. God, man, lived in great peace and harmony. And God created all of us to be transformed. We see it in the New Testament, Romans 12, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God wants to enter our life and be transformational. When he created humans, he created us to be transformed, but the object of our transformation is God himself, his relationship. And so when we read this, the serpent was the shrewdest of all wild animals. Did God really say to you that you can't eat from any tree? Well, of course he didn't say we can eat from it. Just not the tree from the fruit in the middle of the garden. Because then we would die. The serpent, being all astute, say, because I have serpents talk to me all the time, you're not going to actually die. You'll become like God. Wait a second. Whoa, they just hit on a desire that was built by God. I want to be like God. I want to be transformed. That's not a bad desire. Maybe it wasn't out of this extreme disobedience that she was trying, but trying to be transformed to be like what she thought was the most awesome thing ever. But when the transformational object is something other than God, it moves us out of relationship for him. So when our transformational object becomes education or relationships or drinking or sex or any of those things, it moves us as in focus not on God but on somebody else. And what does this have to do with sharing the gospel? Seek to know those who you are speaking with. What are the objects that are in their life? Don't just, you're a horrible person because you're doing this, but are they seeking to be transformed by other things? That is a godly desire that they are just moving like 180 degrees. And God says, I want to be your transformational object. You know what the gospel is? It's proclaiming kingship. If there were a time period in my life, if there was a person that I could go back and see, like if I could get in a time machine, like Back to the Future, and go back, I would want to go back to Jesus' time. I'm not going to lie. That would be awesome. Or Paul. That would be fun too. But if there were a time period that I could live in, I would love to live in the Roman time period. Like movies like Gladiator and Spartacus and Sparta. I love those movies with the like armor and the swords, and I would be awesome. But here's the thing. In the time period of the Romans was where we get the word the gospel. And the gospel was an announcement. Hear ye, hear ye. It was news. Good news. Well, sometimes. It was generally news about a king. Maybe they had gone to war and one king had gotten overthrown and generally killed. Or their person had died and the announcement is, hey, hey. Sorry, I don't know what just happened to my voice. Hey. There is a new king. Maybe he won't be as oppressive or corrupt as the last one. Maybe he'll provide for us better. But it's generally rhetoric, and he usually doesn't. But they send these heralds out to spread the good news that there is a new king, and he'll be a better king. But usually he's just about as corrupt, and usually the people are just about as oppressed. But what if there were a king to rise up that actually said, I have come to make the blind to see, to set the captives free, that the lame would walk. There is. So we claim the King, Jesus. He is the King. What do we do with news? We share it. A few weeks ago, awesome, I was at Young Life Club. I talked about the cross with Jesus. And here's what I said. I started out Young Life Club. It's like, guys, I've got a secret that I'm going to tell all of you. But you can't tell anyone. All right? This was before, a couple weeks ago. I said, I'm getting engaged. Woo! I mean, everybody was excited. Julie wasn't there, so she didn't know that I said this. I had gotten the ring, and I was like, but in here you guys go. You can be involved. I was like, I want you to be involved on the engagement story. And if you want to hear about the engagement story, I can tell you about that later. But like, Young Life Kids Leaders Committee showed up on the day we got engaged, and they were part of the story. And then we shared the news. We posted it on Facebook, and then everybody got mad. I was like, I'm finding about this on Facebook? What? I was like, it happened 10 seconds ago. We thought the world would want to know. Apparently, it's not okay to post those on Facebook before you tell the world. Anyway. Sorry. That's for those of you guys that aren't yet engaged. Show your friends and your family first. We share the good news. We say, hey, much like I asked those Young Life kids to be participatory in it, the gospel is participatory. So the first thing that I would seek you guys to do is understand the plan. If you need help with that, go grab one of these packets in the back. The second one is, how is God's kingship applied in your life? Tell your story. Your past, your present, your future. Some people call these testimonies, but I'm going to say some people don't have time to listen to your whole testimony. When we go to Young Life Camp, a lot of times we allow high school kids to come and share some of their story about how God has come into their life and broken into their life. And one particular year, I've done this for 12 years, so this doesn't usually happen, this kid comes in, and he starts out, well, in kindergarten and then first grade, 45 minutes later, he's talking about Jesus entering his life. And I was like, oh my gosh, that took forever. He went through every year of his life. It's true. But what if we were going to proclaim God in our past, present, and future? One of my youth ministry classes that I went to, there's four questions of youth ministry. I'm only going to give you three. The other one doesn't matter for what I'm going to do for this, but I'm going to give you the first three. And the first one is, if you were going to, because I don't think it's just youth ministry. This is ministry in general. This is people. This is relationships. Write these down. Take note, because I don't have them anywhere else. It's like, what's up? Number one, what's up? What's going on in your life? And I'm saying you, as you were to tell some, if you were to tell somebody what's going on in your life, what's Jesus stirring? If somebody says, or you just happen to be proclaiming something going on today in my life, it's like, my God, gosh, God is really providing for me right now. Sometime over the winter, I was talking to Julie on the phone. She doesn't live around here. She lives in St. Paul. So we're talking on the phone. This is my phone. And I said, Julie, you, because of some hiccups in my past and things that happened in my growing up years, you are the most tangible expression of God's love in my life ever. That's what God is doing in my life right now. We're on this path together. But I've never sensed God's leading and direction more clearly than I am right now, because there's somebody that's expressing his love to me. That's what's doing in my heart. A couple weeks ago, I go to a conference about taking care of yourself in the ministry, and I just learned about how in the world can I have this huge space when everybody comes and shows up and they do this emotional, spiritual vomit on you, and like, I can be okay. Some people know what I'm talking about. And I don't have to fix them, because that's not my job. So what's stirring in your heart? What's going on? If you were just to start saying, this is what's going on in my life to people around you, people you're in a relationship with, that is the gospel. That is, God is the king of my life, in this moment, in my present, because this is happening. Because she's expressing a tangible love of God. Second, past. Was there a moment? Some of you guys may have this. I was 24. That wasn't me. But I have been 24. I skipped 23 and right to 25. But at 24, like, I had never met Jesus, and then I was married for a couple years, and my relationship was on the tracks, and I was like, there was nothing else we could do, so I go face to face with these my parents who knows Jesus, and they led me to Jesus. God broke into my life in the past. God became my king. It's an announcement of king happening, and I'm saying it's in your past. For me, kind of similar. At 11, I was not a church kid, but I did go to Vacation Bible School every year. So loved Vacation Bible School and went to Sunday school sometimes. It was that last year. It's like God knew that I was getting ready to get away. Last year of Vacation Bible School, the pastor comes, brings out the tract, goes through, tells me about Jesus, sin, cross, and you got to repent. And there was this huge U-turn on this particular book. And I didn't really understand what it meant. I mean, like, I was like, I don't do anything bad. But I understood turning towards God. And something did happen to me that day. And God did break into my life. But maybe you were just like, I grew up in the church. And that's okay. These things take away the fact that you can't say, oh, I don't have that interesting of a testimony. It's like, whatever. God, is God in your present? Is God the king of your present? Is he stirring? You have a story. Is he in your past? You have a story. And the third one, if you're like, I don't know how God is stirring now, but God is leading me somewhere. Where are you headed? That's the third question. First one, what's up? Second one, where you been? Sorry, I didn't give you the question. Third one, where are you headed? What is God calling you to? Where is he leading you? Oh my gosh, I don't even know why, but I'm supposed to buy this gallon of milk. I actually had a person say this one time. I had to buy this gallon of milk from Walgreens. So I went to Walgreens, bought this milk, and God literally took me down these three turns, street, showed up at somebody's house, knock on their door, and I hand them this gallon of milk. Didn't know who lived there. And they were like, oh my gosh, I was just praying. We had no milk to give their children or something like that. Insane. God shows up. Okay. That's probably, you can't really show in the moment. God is heading me that direction. Maybe he's calling you to a different town, a different job. And if you proclaim that kingship in your life, I just feel like I'm being led to a different job. And the coworkers, your people around you, they're like, there's something going on with that Ruthie, that Laura, that Matt, because they're always listening and God is stirring in them. And that's gospel. That's an announcement of God doing something in your day that they're like, how do you do that? How do you know? These are the questions that now I get. How do you know when God is stirring? Let me tell you a story, and it's mine. And the last one. Actually, before we go to the last one, because this takes like 2 seconds, but if you were to answer the question, what is God stirring in your heart? This is stuff that I do. I'm sorry if this is, I don't know that we do this a lot in church, and it's probably not okay, but Brian can excommunicate me later. What is God stirring in your heart? What is God doing right now in your heart? What would you say? Because here's the thing. I want you to turn to people within three, four people around you. And not everybody will have time to talk because I'm going to give you 3 minutes. I just want to know, what would you say to the people around you? This is what God is stirring in my heart. And then the reason I said three or four people is because those of you that are a couple, you actually have to get with some other people. That's right. Okay. So just turn to people around you. Answer the question, what is God stirring in your heart? And go. You guys are fantastic students, by the way. The whole, like, everybody's starting to prepare down. So if you have a statement, you can say it right now, but let's return conversation to the front. It's true. Here's the beauty. Is in a way you just announced God's kingship in your present. Any of you guys that spoke. And if we just tell those stories, God is at work and he will use those conversations. So just tell how God has worked in your past or in your present. Answer the questions. What is up? Where you been? And where you headed? And in relationship, I have found that the best way that I get people to speak, I don't use these on the street because this would be weird and it would be like what I did before. I have no problem with people that go out and tell people about Jesus at Mardi Gras and stuff like that. Whatever brings people to Jesus is fantastic. This is how I operate, is I tell the gospel. I talk about what God's doing in my life, he has done, is doing. And then I ask people the question, what do you think about Jesus? And what is God stirring in your life? I have found in Young Life Kids, our target is kids that don't know Jesus. Okay, realize this. I have had kids that are drug dealers, and I still will ask this question to them. What is God stirring in your heart? But I will also ask my Young Life leaders, and I would do this to Brian as a pastor. What is God stirring in your heart? Because it's a question that has no right answer, but you can find out where they are in the gospel presentation of themselves just by that question. And if they're a Christian that is just a pew sitter, they may say something like, I didn't even know. These aren't even pews. They sit in chairs. I didn't even know God was supposed to be stirring. The gospel is a declaration of a king. What God has done to reach us, not what we do to reach him. So your story that you tell tells the story of God breaking into your life, into your past, in your present, in your future. And share those. Look at this, be prepared. And now, let's pray, and then we'll do whatever's next. Father God in heaven, we just come before you right now. We thank you that that you are the good news, that we get to announce you at work on the earth. And Father, I pray that we would look to ourselves and ask the questions, how are you stirring? That we would seek to find you doing something in our day that we couldn't even imagine. That we would get to share that with the people around us. That we'd be able to talk about our past. And we'd talk about you leading us somewhere. Now, God, break into our lives now and do something. Have your way. Let us be open to the hope of you doing something that we can't even imagine.
Yes.
Amen.